All aboard and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Always Be Booked Cruise Cast Show, coming to you not quite live from New York. That's right. Doesn't really matter where we are, does it? We're just doing what we do here. We're out here talking about cruising. And yeah, the show has had a bunch of new iterations. And, you know, the last episode was a sound check. This one, you know what? This is the real thing. We're back. We're back and we're going to try to keep this thing weekly. We're back ready for prime time. Ready? No more dress rehearsals. Expectations have been elevated. And this week, at least this week, we've delivered. Sherry from Cruise Tips TV fame. You guys know her. YouTube channel. Been around for a minute. And honestly, one of the real originals. Before it was trendy, before it was cool to have a YouTube channel about cruising or any content about cruising, Sherry was doing it. So that's what it is. We'll have that for you in a few minutes. I'll give you a little bit of a rant before we get going here. There's a lot of stuff going on in cruising. By the way, I was thinking about maybe, still am, outlying chance that I might do a five-day cruise on the Norwegian Joy. And that is set to set sail. When is that? That's April 9th. I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to stay here, stay focused, stay on land. It is out of control, freezing. You know what I mean? It's, again, freezing. You know, people in Minnesota in January probably wouldn't consider this freezing. But a fella who's gotten fairly used to spending some good quality time down in Florida, yeah, it's freezing. And the rain has been unbearable, you know? What are we doing, Tommy? Are we talking about the weather? No. All right. So I touched on it with Sherry. Virgin Voyages is doing something where they're kind of, I guess, they're not doing anything when it comes down to it. They're packaging back-to-back cruises out of the Mediterranean. And what you can do is basically book. It looks like it's ranging from like 25 to 27 days or so. And it's like mini extended getaways. What they're trying to jump into and jump on board with is the whole work from home thing or work remotely thing, I should say, because this isn't home. But what they want to do is basically package together, and it's going to be around $10,000, but you can be at sea and a guest can be at sea for an entire month throughout the Mediterranean. You know, so this isn't the old Bahama Florida's cruise. This is Mediterranean on a Virgin Voyages cruise ship, and they're throwing in the Wi-Fi. Now, the Wi-Fi on Virgin is free anyway, but this is elevated Wi-Fi, so I like it. I like what they're trying to do. I like any time that anybody wakes up and decides, hey, how can I get people on a cruise ship and get them to stay there for a month, and they get kind of creative about how they're doing it, I'm all for it. I'm good with it. So this is what Virgin's trying to do. Big shout out to Royal Caribbean for taking a stand against this guy who is putting cameras in people's it's not funny at all. I'm not laughing at that. I'm just, you know, it's ridiculous. And this is not what cruising needs. Cruising does not need this type of a black eye, having people set up cameras for the purpose of voyeurism, whether it's in a bedroom or in a bathroom. And, you know, Royal Caribbean, of course, listen, what would you say? You got to be a little bit better as a cruise line. You have to be. It's a little ridiculous that these people are not vetted a little bit better. Of course, some of them are going to slip through the cracks. But, you know, how far do the cruise lines have to go? Do we have to start banning these little cameras? You probably should not have a micro camera on the ship. You want to bring a DSLR, you want to use your iPhone, but anything that's, you know, smaller than a fingernail and mountable, they should probably outlaw them. And kudos to Royal Caribbean. They said, and this is why I laughed, because they said they have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to this type of thing. And I should say, and to quote Abe Froman from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, well, I should say you do. That may not have been Abe Froman. Abe Froman, wasn't Abe Froman the same character as Sloane's uncle? It was Cameron both times, but I think he was basically playing the same character, right? old one-trick pony there, Cameron. Come on, mix it up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Royal Caribbean, thank you for having a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to people spying on people in their private rooms. But again, the guy's in jail. Action was taken, but what are we going to do going forward to prevent this from happening? We all know the general public needs very, very little when it comes to, you know, throwing shade at the cruise industry. And this is another, this is just ammunition for them to be able to do it. So let's fix that. There's another guy suing Carnival. Guy's suing Carnival for being kicked by a goat. Now, some people are going to say frivolous lawsuit. Yeah, I get it. Frivolous lawsuit. But this is on the Carnival-owned cruise port, right? So my thing is yeah, the guy probably shouldn't have pet the donkey. Probably shouldn't have gotten within a donkey. You know, just like Chris Rock says, you know, that tiger, when they attacked Siegfried and Roy, that tiger didn't go crazy. That tiger went tiger. It's a wild animal. You know, and these donkeys very often look sedated. Now, these donkeys seem to be all over the Caribbean. We encountered a donkey in St. Kitts. My buddy Nicole sat on top of the donkey for a tip. You know, obviously there was a chaperone there who knew the donkey. There was a infamous multiple donkeys in St. Thomas. Whether it was at the top of the mountain or whether it was in Red Hook, we've seen donkeys all over the place. And what do people do? You know, the people who are operating these donkeys or chaperoning these donkeys or the owners or operators of the donkeys in general, they're always inviting you to interact with the donkey, right? And this, of course, we should know it can be dangerous. Yes, we of course know that there's some sort of risk assumed when you're dealing with a wild animal. But at the same time, this is happening on the actual Carnival cruise port property. So for me, is the person somewhat culpable? The victim, the plaintiff? I would say yes. You're not going to catch me trying to ride the donkeys. But if you've ever encountered any of these donkeys in the Caribbean, there is a heartfelt invitation, dare I say aggressive, because, you know, what they're trying to do is show you the donkey, you have a donkey encounter, and then you give a little tip to the operator of the donkey. That's how it works. So I'm assuming I wasn't there, but there wasn't. The guy saying there should have been a sign, don't get close to the donkey. Well, I get it. There maybe should have been a sign, don't get close. But that probably would be a problem because that would operate indirectly with what the operator of the donkey is trying to get you to do, which is interact with the donkey, pet the donkey. You know, I'm not buying into the whole, well, you should have known better, stay away from the donkey. No, it's not good. It's not a great move. It's not a smart move, as far as I'm concerned, going up to and petting these donkeys. But that is what these operators of these donkeys do. They invite you to sit on them, interact with them, pet them. What's the next thing? Monkeys? We know that you interact with monkeys in certain ports. And not even in the ports, whether you're on an excursion, whether you're just kind of going freelance on your own, and there happens to be a guy sitting outside of a gift shop with monkeys. Yeah, interact with the monkeys. What happens if one of those monkeys rips your eye? Well, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to be unpleasant. We don't want to talk about unpleasant things. But what I'm saying is Carnival Cruise Port, you own the port, you sail in. While you're on Carnival property, there's a guy with a donkey inviting you to interact with his donkey. That donkey kicks out your legs, causes you to miss work, and tears an ACL and a meniscus on top of it? I don't know. Think we got a case? I think we got a little bit of a case. Anyway, let's talk about nice things, guys. We have an interview. It is with, as mentioned, Sherry from Cruise Tips TV. Just a reminder, in case you've been living under a rock, Cruise Tips TV is on YouTube. It is a mega channel. It is a juggernaut. She also has a podcast. She does it with her husband, Mr. Cruise Tips TV, and they are a great duo. And I pay tribute and homage to them, ideally, hopefully, maybe somewhat eloquently, in the interview that you are about to hear. So without further ado, this is my chat in the new I don't know, what would you call this, 19th reboot of Always Be Booked? My chat with Sherry from Cruise Tips TV.
Do you remember the first time I came on your podcast?
Yes, yes.
And I was like in the morning, or I had been sick. And I asked you, I was like, Tommy, how did the edit go? And you're like, it was fine, except for the demonic throat clearing.
Wait, did I say that?
Yeah, you totally did. I said demonic. And I thought it was you did. You said demonic throat clearing. I will never forget it because I thought it was the funniest thing on earth. And I just literally now when I'm talking to my husband, I walk around the house and I was like, stop with your demonic throat clearing.
Oh, boy.
Did you hear about this Virgin Voyages thing that kind of just broke about the remote working back-to-back cruise thing?
No. Yeah, what's going on?
I think it just came out. It actually looks pretty cool. So they're going to do a thing where it looks like it's just shy of a month. They're talking about, I think, four separate sailings from June that start in June and then go till like the end of September. And you can pick one of four sailings in the Mediterranean. And they're, I guess, I don't know, would it be like back-to-backs, but almost like mini... You wouldn't call them world cruises, extended cruises.
Yeah. They must feel very comfortable about their internet connectivity if they're doing that.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying, and that's the beauty of it too, because they're really going hard when it comes to, you know, the remote work and stuff like that. So what they're doing is they're basically, because, you know, one of their biggest selling points is the fact that you get free internet when you sail with them, but they have an upgradable component that's premium Wi-Fi, and they're going to make it free on this ship.
That is so genius. Okay, I just found it. Prices start at $9,990, which represents a savings of up to 30% compared to four independent voyages. That's not bad now, if you think about
it. No, that's two
like $2,000 a week.
That's two people, $1,000 a week.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like you said, you get the Wi-Fi and, you know, I think I just love when people just try to shake things up. You know, you're talking about a month in the Mediterranean, right?
Yeah, that looks totally fun. Yeah, they're confident. They're like, we've got high-speed Wi-Fi. They're pimping the Starlink, talking about the speeds of it. They must feel really super comfortable about this. That's impressive. It's bold. They're doing bold things.
Yeah. What do you think about them? I keep saying, everybody was talking about who's going to make it out of the pandemic. Norwegian. Seems like they were like under the gun. They seem like they're thriving now, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're booking up like crazy. And I honestly think Virgin is doing really well. I think their target audience ended up being someone different than they originally set out for. But I think they're killing it. And I think that people love the product. I have never met somebody who went on a Virgin cruise and said, I absolutely hated it. I think they're like... They're nailing their demographic. Their demographic is way older than I think they thought it was going to be. I think there was this expectation that it was going to be like hipster clubbers in their 20s. It's not at all. It's like progressive cruisers who want a different experience and who don't want to be around kids. And they're like fun and open-minded. And I think they're doing really well.
No, they seem to be. And you haven't done Virgin yet, have you?
I haven't done a sailing, but I did visit Scarlet Lady for a full day, and I got to eat at the Korean barbecue place, and I got to go to one of their shows called Dual Reality, which is like a Romeo and Juliet, and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. So I feel like I have a little bit of an understanding of the vibe of the ship, but I've never experienced a full sailing.
You know, I did a sailing, and I got to say, like, I don't know if you heard or whatever, I really do agree with you 100% what they talk about. They say, like, you know, what you're talking about is they wanted to think that it was going to be like a newer, hip, younger kind of party scene. Everything that Richard Branson kind of embodies, I guess, with the whole Virgin Records and, you know, especially what he did with airlines, everything. But you are 100% right. It definitely is. Now, it does provide for a crazy mix because they definitely delve into what you can maybe some people might consider somewhat offensive, like if you're not like that progressive. Mm-hmm. And I definitely saw that come into play when we were on Scarlet Night, and, you know, there were older couples that were invited to do things on the ship that they were clearly not, you know, I don't know, none of these people have ever been on a cruise and had any of the crew members be sanctioned to start saying the F word to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And they have like adult amenity kits in the staterooms. Like this is not your grandma's cruise line.
No, but in some ways it is, but you're right. I guess it's kind of nuts, but I do think that this is going to be pretty popular. I think, you know, and the other thing too is they're not selling anything outside of what they're already booking. These sailings are going on either way.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like from a logistics and financial standpoint, it's so much smarter to take 10 grand from two people than to take 2 grand from 18 people to get the same amount of money, meaning like efficiency wise, they're loading them onto the ship one time and they're collecting that revenue. It's actually a really smart idea that, like, I think they're probably capitalizing a little bit too on this whole TikTok world cruise phenomenon where there's maybe a desire for people who are younger to satisfy a curiosity about a long cruise. And this would be a way to like satisfy that curiosity without having to book a world cruise, which would obviously start at way more than $9,000 for two people.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, let me ask you, so you just touched on the TikTok thing and the world cruise thing. And to me, that does, I don't know, we all agree, all of us out here, and we know there's a lot of us. When we're back in the day, it was me, you, Doug, Matt, a few other people. Now it's a lot of people, but we all realize and see that the pricing, I call it steal a cruise. I used to try to just steal a cruise. It's very, very hard to steal a cruise nowadays. These prices have gotten a little bit out of control. Now, what do you attribute that to? Is that some of the, I guess, scrutiny being paid to by like a lot of these TikTokers and things like that?
No, I just think it's plain old supply and demand. I think that it's a resurgence. I think when the industry came back, you know, it came back with some hesitation because of the fact that there was so much negative press around it. But I think what happened is cruising just became stronger. And, you know, to some degree, there may be some buzz around cruising globally. But I think, you know, and there's some new to cruise people, but I really do just think that we're at an all-time interest level in leisure travel, whatever it may be, and that the ships are charging what they can because of supply and demand. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it will last, though. I'll tell you that. I think that everything ebbs and flows, and there will be economic changes. We were just talking about this on our live stream on YouTube the other night. You know, God forbid anything happens with the economy or, you know, we have some sort of pandemic again. But one thing we know just about the global economy and the U.S. economy is that it does go in waves, ups and downs. You know, you're also in an election year and that can sometimes bring about economic changes. But I don't think that this will stay that way forever. I think there will come a time. And I don't want it to happen. I love seeing this industry that I love thriving, but there will come a time when you can get a cabin for 60% off. And I don't know that necessarily ships will sail at anything less than full capacity for a while, but it'll ebb and flow.
Yeah. See, you know more than me, and I'll admit
no.
that. I think so. My gut disagrees with you a little bit on that because I just think, yes, supply and demand is definitely what the ultimate thing that drives it is. But the fact that something has to, I guess, drive that, I guess, equation, the supply versus the demand. And I don't know. I hope you're right. And I guess you could be right. It's just a matter of you see things happen. And when pricing starts to go up, you know, very rarely do you ever see it go back down when it comes to us as the consumer. Obviously, the stock market, things like that. But when Norwegian came out and basically said, hey, listen, we're not giving out any more discounts. We're going to bang you guys out. You guys are paying full price, top dollar. And they basically almost kind of, it was pretty brash the way they said it.
Yeah.
And they stand by it. And now they are, I guess, in the black. And everybody was wondering, is Carnival going to buy Norwegian? I think the math was done, Sherry. I think what happened was, I think that cruising was a pretty well-kept secret from mainstream traveling to a degree. And I think that it was just such a high value vacation. I think once all these vloggers and all this attention, whatever you want to call it, PR, I think overall they're just, it's just PR on cruising mm-hmm. came to light. I think the math was done. And I think the cruise lines have gotten very, very good at understanding what, how much more can we charge? Now, somebody like me and you will say, oh, you know, we're a little frustrated by this high price cruising, but you know what? Let's look at a land vacation. You still do the numbers. Cruising still yeah. wins, right?
Yep. Yep.
But not by a lot. It just seems like it's a little bit, it's like microcosmically, it's like, you know, the, how they changed from, you know, if you get an upgrade, you get an upgrade because the ship isn't yeah. selling well. But no, they got smart and they realized, you know what, let's have them bid. Let's see what they're willing to pay. And I think that is, I think that's affecting us. I think it's just advanced mathematics and analytics that the cruise lines are doing and realizing that they can get this money.
Yeah. What do you think about, what do you think about the pricing on Icon of the Seas, Royal Caribbean? I mean, Norwegian, yeah, Norwegian came out and sort of boldly said, look, we're not really doing discounts. But if you look at the behavior of Royal Caribbean, that's even more juicy in terms of like, you know, markup. Right. I mean, what are Royal Caribbean marking their cabins up at this point on their newer ships? Like 400% over 2021. Yep. Like, what do you think about Icon? Do you want to go on it? Would you pay the money? What do you think?
Hey, listen, Icon, I would love to go on Icon. There's no question about it. Do I have my reservations as to what the cruise experience will be like? Yes, I do. But as a person who's passionate about the industry, I definitely want to get on Icon. At this pricing, I don't see myself doing that. Again, the market will speak. Whether or not it comes down, the market will speak, and it'll, you know, if they'll come down if they have to, but it'll be interesting to find out. But I will say this, if they can get the money for it, I can't blame them. You know what I mean? You can't blame the cruise line. If they can charge and fill the ships, you can't blame them for doing it. And as far as you're 100% right, you know, Norwegian said, we're raising prices. Royal Caribbean comes in and says, hold my beer. So, yeah. You know, it's a little crazy.
He did. Yeah. You sit in on one of their stockholder calls and it's totally like, hold my beer. You know, they're making their announcement in different ways and their stock prices. Oh my gosh, what are they today? I'm going to look. It's crazy. Yeah. I was thinking about Icon for you and I was like, no, that's not a Tommy ship. Not so much.
I don't know. I think it could be. Now, my biggest point of interest is Utopia.
Yeah.
And
shorter cruises, yeah, right?
I've said it a lot. And, you know, uh-huh. and Matt, I guess I watched Tony the other day and he spoke and I didn't see the Matt thing, but he reiterated the Matt thing. I guess the strategy. Did you hear the strategy or the rebuttal to
no,
why?
I don't think so.
Okay. So what they said was basically the rebuttal is, well, all these times, you know, you go on these cruises and you want to take a 3-4 day cruise and a lot of newcomers, that's what they do, 3 and 4 day cruises. But mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're exposed to this old, you know, antiquated hardware.
Oh, so they're trying to make a new ship. I see.
So if you're going to get new cruisers on board, why you got to continuously give them this old hardware is the thought process, right?
Genius.
I got a rebuttal to that.
Okay.
Now there's a difference between putting people on the, you know, the enchantment of the seas versus literally
Harmony,
the newest,
right, yeah.
no, put them on
right.
Harmony, even Harmony, put yeah, them on Harmony, right. put them on Allure, yeah. put them on Oasis, put them on right. Independence, Quantum, dare I say.
Yeah.
But this is the second biggest and best piece of hardware that is moving on this planet right now. It's crazy that, you know, and to me, it's just a matter of the economics too. Like they're able to basically, you know, think about it. They're going to charge full price because it's a brand new ship. So you'll be paying what you pay, you know, for an 8-day, 7-day cruise on Independence. You'll be paying that for a 3 and 4 day and they get to double up their week. So basically they get double the money within a week. So I get what they're saying and it makes sense. And shout out to Matt and Tony and, you know, people that, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. but I'm going to go ahead and say that this is another, you know, thing that's driven by the economics. And again, who am I to blame them? Who am I to say they shouldn't do it? As long as it's still economically beneficial price-wise for us to cruise, we're going to cruise and we're going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But you're right. But gone are the days when they can justify the price increases by saying things like, oh, it's the cost of food. Oh, it's supply chain. Because everyone is facing that. We all know that that's a reality, but it has gone beyond that.
Yep.
And as in my opinion, as it should, they got to recuperate their profits. They're a business. Think about what they went through. And these companies too, now, if you think about it, wouldn't you think they're also approaching the future in like a smart, proactive way of, okay, if something like this were to ever happen again, what are our financial reserves? Like, you know, what do we do to keep our manpower and not have to do mass layoffs? Do you think that they're like approaching it in that way and stockpiling reserves for that, or just have more of a strategic plan in case something were to happen again? Or do you think, no, that it would be back to the same old?
That's a great point.
You know what I mean? I'm not sure.
If you know, like you talked about before, things happen in cycles. And if something like that ever, yeah, a disaster, you know, did strike the industry like that again at some point, you know, what a much more advantageous to have like a little bit of a rainy day fund than to have to go out and take these bad loans again. And, yep, you know, could you imagine Carnival right now, any of these people that split with so much of their equity, could you imagine if they didn't have to do that, how much money they'd be making right now?
No. I know. So true. Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, I'm at that point too. I don't want to be pessimistic about the economy, but I've lived through it so many times. I've seen it impact travel. And I also saw it as I was a recruiter in my day job. So I'd see it impact the, you know, the hiring markets as well. I mean, first we had 9/11. That was the first in my lifetime, the first major economic downturn. And then we had sort of the recession. Well, actually, we kind of had the dot-com burst. Then we had 9/11. Then we had the 2008 sort of recession. And I think we're all sort of praying that the pandemic was the last of these economic crises that ever happened. But, you know,
we know better.
We don't know. Yeah, you don't know. I worry about things too, like global terrorism. This is getting too serious. Yeah. Can we change this? Let's talk about cocktails. Like, why did I, sorry, what happened here? I feel really bad.
For the record, I was not the one to. I was not the one to bring up global terrorism. For the record,
no, I wasn't. And I'm like,
the tangent. Sherry, I'm the tangent guy out here. Come on.
I mean, but it has happened before, right? Yeah. We've had these things happen, and I know. I'm sorry if you have to edit this out, Tommy. Please,
oh, we are
I don't
not want to
alienate
it.
Your wonderful audience.
We are not touching it. Absolutely. They're used to me going off. I think it's probably contagious where, you know, it is what it is.
I know.
But all right. So switch gears. So Texas, huh? We're in Texas now?
Yeah. Yeah. Loving it.
So this kind of like, again, and you know, you're beholden to tell people your travel plans or your moving plans, but this was a little bit out of nowhere. How are you settling in? Do you like it over there?
It was a little bit out of nowhere. We actually found out we were losing our rental quite suddenly. And so we really didn't have a whole lot of time to pivot, and we had to make a decision. We'd already been pondering a move because we wanted to get into doing entrepreneurship full time. So it was in our hearts and our minds. We just didn't know where we wanted to go. We were looking at like Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, all, you know, all the things. But, Texas kind of won out because it had an international airport, right? We're within driving distance of DFW. I can drive to a cruise port, which those two criteria had to be there for our move. And that was very limiting. Like, where can you go where you have that? You have like, you know, Seattle, California, Florida, Texas, kind of South Carolina, because you have like one cruise port there that barely has any ships going out of, but it was limiting.
Right.
So yeah, we've been here. May will be a year. We're really loving it. There are major differences in things that have taken a lot of getting used to. Obviously, we spent our whole lives in California, so going to a totally different state, it's really different. We also have a lot of land, and we have to take care of that land, and it's a lot of work. And this weird things happen. Like, our house is kind of, you could make a movie about the house. It's like it's a farmhouse that was built in like the 80s. And, you know, just some stuff is a little bit janky. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a family of like skunks that live under our house. You know, our neighbors are like cows and horses. It's just a wild adventure, but we love it. And we've driven down to Galveston a couple times to check out the cruise port. So it's been fun to be able to like explore something totally new as it pertains to cruising. So it's good. Oh, thanks for asking. No. And you're back in New York now?
Yeah, I'm back in New York. But I was going to ask you, like, so as far as the terminal down there. So how far are you away? Are you like in the neighborhood of Galveston? Because Galveston is a fascinating thing in cruising as well, because you're hearing about such a resurgence, and it always had a cruise presence for a while now, but you're seeing it start to be, I guess, mentioned in the mix with the big boys too.
You bet. Yeah, it's growing like crazy. I'm a 5-hour drive. I'm far from Galveston, but you know, in the South and in the Midwest, people drive 18 hours to cruises. They have zero cares about distance here. It's really funny. Like when you'll say, I'll be right there in Texas, that could mean an hour. And you're like, oh, I'm right down the road, babe. And though that's literally like 65 miles from me. Everything is huge here. Is in, you know, it's wild. But yes, Galveston is growing like crazy. Carnival, now that they have Jubilee down there, they're going to have Jubilee Dream. Why am I forgetting the other ship? Breeze, right? And then Miracle's coming over. They're going to have a fourth ship. And then you have other ships kind of doing a little rotation. Like, so you had Regal Princess, but they're leaving. Norwegian Prima is leaving. And then you have Disney. So there's a lot going on down there. It's a very busy, cruise port. It's a ton of fun. It's a great little Gulf town. It's awesome to go spend some time down there in advance and just chill on the beach. And eat some really good food and just, you know, hang out in a casual seaside town. So it's fun.
I don't know if you're a stand-up comedy fan at all, but, you know, Joe Rogan made their move from L.A. to Texas. And I wonder if you're going to have that. You're going to be like the Joe Rogan and kind of you can see all these cruise podcasters and cruise content creators follow you over to, you know, just hoping to get in the good graces of the Cruise Tips TV crew.
You're so funny. I don't think so. I think I will be honest with you. Most people, especially people from California, they look at me like I'm insane when I say I've moved to Texas. They're like, and they're very bold about it. They're like, they crunch up their nose and they'll say like, why Texas? And I'm thinking, you got to do your research. This is a big state. There's a lot of beauty here. There's a lot of wonderful people. It's a really cool place. And I think everybody thinks like, well, unless you're in Austin, it's not cool. No way. Texas is awesome. And there's something for everybody here. And it's great. But no, I think the mass move is usually to like Florida or, you know, something where they can be closer to all of the ships. But maybe it will become cool. I'd like to see it become cool.
Yeah. Now, I have a friend who lives in Texas and he's in Houston and he talks about it. He's not a cruiser, but he talks about it all the time, like the changes that he's seeing to Galveston. And it looks like it's being a little bit built up right by the cruise port area. And of course it's getting a little bit more on his radar because I got to think the industry as a whole is having a little bit of an effect and some of the reason why it's being built up.
Yeah. Oh, for sure it is. And obviously, like, you know, Texas being such a big state, there's only a limited amount of coastline down on the Gulf, right? So you don't have, when you think about places like Florida, and how much actual coastline they have, or California, just a massive, long, vertical states, right? There's a lot less coastline to go to in Texas. So you have people going from Louisiana, from even like Arkansas, Missouri, driving down to the beach too. So the cruise stuff, yes, but then people also going and doing resort stays there. Airbnbs are also super popular in Galveston. Very, very popular.
Right, right. No, it just seems cool that they would want to build that up and kind of make it, you know, anytime you could do a cruise destination, it probably helps the region economically, but also maybe you pump up that infrastructure a little bit, little hotels, little entertainment districts, and you know, you get a little bit on the front end and the back end of the cruises too. You know, it's not just in and out.
Totally. Yeah, it's all growing. That's one thing about Texas, Tommy. It's crazy. It is growing. Everything here is growing so rapidly. We're out in the country, so we don't see it quite as much. But when you visit Dallas, Houston, Galveston, like, it literally, you see it. You see, like, The large scale construction out here, for people who are from other states where there's maybe more regulations around construction, like obviously where I'm from in California, everything was like super bureaucratic and slow. Like if you had to add a lane to a freeway, it would take like 13 years. And I'm not even exaggerating. And by the time that you built the freeway, you know, you would need another lane. But out here, it's like just this massive sprawl, and everything is like a big patch of dirt being built on, or everything is like an overpass with just rebar and construction everywhere. It is growing like mad because, you know, people can still afford the American dream here. Maybe not for long if that growth continues, but you can still buy acreage. You can still buy a beautiful new home. You have to put up with the weather and the bugs and, you know, some of those downsides, but otherwise.
Manageable.
Yeah.
Now, I heard your last podcast and I was... you tugged at the heartstrings a little bit. Anytime you mentioned Carnival Miracle and you mentioned it was going to Galveston, and the way you guys think about Carnival Miracle is kind of like the same way I do as well. It's such an outlier ship. It's a little bit of a, you know, experience. I guess that's the word you could use, kind of walking around that ship when you talk about the wacky, out of control, you know, decor. I always say if I don't know what Joe Farkas's, if there were any drugs involved at all ever, but if there was a Joe Farkas era where he was experimenting with psychedelics, I would guess it would be when he was, you know, constructing or designing the Miracle. No,
100% Mushroom City, when he designed that weird, like, what is that theater thing that has the walls are all, it's like an Alice in Wonderland.
The Mad Hatter.
Yeah. And then there's a freaking Frankenstein statue in the disco. And then you've got like naked statues in the dining room. And then the whole ceiling is made of giant purple grapes. It is the gaudiest, most fabulous thing, but it's a really great size ship. And for those of us who like Tommy, I know you like your aft pool. Like if you like that aft pool and you like classic Carnival, and of course the staff is always like amazing on these ships.
Yeah.
You know, there's just like this magic of mid-sized old Carnival ships that you just can't.
It's just, it was just crazy though. Cause you're like, it's my first cruise ship ever. I get on this cruise ship. I'm like, do all the cruise ships have a giant fictional character standing watching you in the dance floor?
Wait, this was your first cruise? Yes. Miracle was your first? Oh, I don't know if I remembered that.
Yeah, it was the first cruise I ever took out of New York. And and that was the, you know, how they sometimes run those documentaries in the rooms, you know, the 24/7 channel that'll tell you. And they were saying, yeah, it's all about fictional characters. And yes, I do love that. I mean, that's a great way to eat a steak. You know what I mean? And Nick and Nora's up there. You guys were mentioning that.
Oh, dude, I love that steakhouse. The food is really good too. It's not just like the vibe, but there's something about, because you're sitting under the red funnel thing,
yeah.
There's like this red light that casts inside on you. And it's magical. There's nothing else like it. And I don't think they would do that anymore with their designs, but, I love it.
And I like that it's special. Different too, because like you had the main where everything's usually deck 5 and 6, like these ships, it's on deck like 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 or whatever it is. It's just a different ship. And I just like that. Cause again, the industry has just found the best practices for making money, and it's been really, really kind of calculated. And a lot of the ships and the classes are, you know, they're cookie cutter, but yeah, the Miracle is that. I remember it was day 7. It was an 8-day cruise. And on day 7, I walked in and discovered Gatsby's Garden. I was like, wow.
Oh, I love that spot.
Beautiful little spot. Beautiful.
Yeah. It's cool. It's a little rocky on sea days though.
Yeah.
Do you know who the godmother was of Miracle?
On Miracle? Who's the godmother on Miracle?
It was, listen to this. This is really cool. It was Jessica Lynch. She was that army soldier who was in that invasion in Iraq.
Yes.
And I thought that was really cool. And obviously Carnival has incredible ties with military, and they support the military in so many ways. But I love that they did that. I mean, she was a prisoner of war from what I recall.
Yep.
And they went and they rescued her. And I don't know. I just think it's amazing. I think that they should do something with her. I think they should bring her back to the ship and have some sort of a special ceremony or like a rechristening. I think that'd be super cool.
Oh, definitely. All right. So speaking of your,
your podcast. I have to say, by the way, obviously we know, as I mentioned in the intro, Sherry from Cruise Tips TV. She's got the podcast with Mr. Cruise Tips TV, legendary YouTube channel as well. But that podcast has become one of my favorite listens, period. And just a little insider, I tried to see if we can get Mr. Cruise Tips TV. You said that's not really his thing, but
I asked him.
You did? He wasn't.
Oh yeah, I have a text message from him.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he lives in my house, so it's a little weird that I text my husband. But I had forgotten to tell him I was coming on your podcast.
Okay.
Again, I asked him the day that you asked me, would you come on? And he gave me his kind of like, he laughed and he's like, no. You know, it's bad enough having to edit myself when I'm on the podcast. I really don't want to do it. But yesterday, I said to him, I said, honey, I'm going on the podcast with Tommy tomorrow. Are you sure you don't want to come? And here's what he said. What did he say? Oh, shoot. I can't find it. It says something like basically the same thing. It was like, please tell Tommy, thank you.
Okay.
Like that was the first thing. It was very okay. Like he was, you know, being very delicate. Please tell Tommy, thank you. But no, I'm enough trouble for myself as it is. It's kind of like, you know, like his approach. He's just, he edits out. You know, if he says a word the wrong way, he edits it out. I'm quite frankly shocked that he agreed to come on and do this with me. He's very introverted and he's also very critical of himself. So the fact that we've got him on the podcast as it is a blessing. And I don't know what I'd do without him because it would be boring as hell and there'd be no humor and there'd be no banter. And, you know, I would just be talking to a wall. So
I don't know about, but I will say something that I hope you don't take the wrong way. Listen to you and he jumps in and, you know, what works is that you have this ultra polished. Yeah, you keep it real. There's no question about that. But the overall avatar of Sherry is just this pro. This, I mean, ultra polished. You know, and he'll come in when he. I forgot what episode. A couple of episodes ago.
Uh-huh.
But you had something where you were like, you know, you were going over a ship and you were ready to move on to the next thing. You were talking about your topic and then you move on to the next thing. He jumps in with a question and then you were like, all right, well, maybe you had sort of an answer, but then you were ready to move on. But then he asked another question and I don't know if it's designed or not, but the slightly, I guess you sounded slightly annoyed.
Oh yeah, he totally blindsided me. We almost had to edit that out.
And when he said, oh, thank God you did not. Because when he broke that, one of my favorite moments in the history of podcasting, period, is when he said, oh, you thought this was going to be a puff piece.
Oh, I got the text from Tommy, guys. For the crew out there listening to this, I got the immediate text from Tommy that was like, oh, you thought this was going to be a puff piece, ... I almost reached over and smacked him because nobody wants to feel stupid on their own show. And I really didn't know. I forgot what ship it was. I really had no idea. I was like, I don't know about Icon Dining or what. I just don't know. And he assumes, and it's great. I appreciate and respect that he admires my knowledge. Apparently, he thinks I know stuff. It was a close call. It was a little bit like, honey, I have no idea, and I'm really tired, and you're pushing my buttons.
No, Sherry, listen, you're always present. You know what I mean? You're always there.
Yeah.
But to have him throwing things like that in, and if he asked him, like, honestly, I want to believe, don't get mad. I want to believe that he is not just asking questions because he wants to know. He's asking these questions specifically to keep you on your toes.
Oh, yeah.
And throw you off a little bit so that you have to kind of maybe go off. Maybe if you have anything that you had mentally scripted in your head, he wants you to. And honestly, we're all here for it. Appreciate it.
Okay, so y'all want to see Sherry squirm is what I'm hearing.
We want to.
No, it's good.
Yeah,
improv. Literally
just not squirm, but a little improv. You have to kind of like think on your toes a little bit, react to him. It works. I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. And honestly, when he kind of pops in there, and I know even when he starts to talk, when you say something, and I hear him start, I'm like, oh yeah, here he comes.
And it's that dry humor. Yes. Here he comes too, where it's very very, he can just like come up with something off the top of his head. And it's like, wait, where did you even get that? And how long have you been thinking about that? And you didn't tell me. There's zero, by the way, there's zero planning and scripting on the podcast. You said earlier, I don't know if it's planned. They literally, there is never any discussion at all before we sit down. It's because the division of labor in our house is kind of crazy. Like he's editing, you know, 9 hours a day, and I'm doing like the podcast planning and stuff. So I'll rough everything out. And this is how much he knows about a podcast almost always. It's like, what are we talking about today? And then I tell him, he's like, huh. And that is it. And so everything is always like completely left field. But I kind of like it that way because I don't know. I think you're right. I think it's more fun. And I think that there's what I love about the podcast and the reason we're doing it 2 times a week now is like, where else do you get to have like a long form conversation like this, like we're having right now? Like people still listen to us for a long time. And that feels so good because we're so like with YouTube, Tommy, we're having to just do everything we can to keep people's attention, right? Like when you're doing editing a video or whatever, that sucks, to be honest with you. It's not fun to have to think, well, how do I put a visual on the screen that will keep people listening? How cool does it feel to think people actually want to come and listen to us for 40 minutes? Like this is the kind of media that he and I both really love. So it's like our passion project. You know, it's like, this is our time. Nobody's watching us. You know, they can't see the daggers in my eyes when, you know, they can't see.
I can see them. I can see them.
I know. You can because you're recording me. Do you remember one time when you called, you told me you thought I was a diva?
No, I didn't say that.
I remember everything you
say. I did not say that.
Yes, you did.
No, I said,
yes,
I asked you if there, no, I, that was my, that was one of my best, one of my best questions that I still want to know if it ever happens. I would love to, I would love to just see you sit down and then basically you just dress down to, excuse me, do you know who you're serving right now? And then if someone goes around, I know you don't because it's so out of character, but that's what would make it so much funny. But no, I wouldn't.
No, that would never in a million years. That diva would never happen. The kinds of things you would see though is like a meltdown at the end of the day.
Okay.
Like something happened. The diva in me is probably more like occasionally towards my poor family. Like, you know, mom has been trying too hard to complete some task on a cruise ship and I'm not really resting. And it's like, you know, something snaps where I'm like, I'm done, you know.
I know you don't take kindly to missing ports. I think there was a Virgin Gorda thing that you remember that you were capable of murder for, right?
I was devastated. Yeah, so we our shore excursion, we had booked an independent shore excursion in Tortola to go to Virgin Gorda, and our ship was late. This is Holland America, like in 2005. And I just like broke down hysterically crying because I was so excited. I wanted to go to freaking the baths. I wanted to go see the baths. And so we ended up like going and just asking the shopping guide or the port guide or whatever, like, how do we just go there ourselves? And it ended up being this amazing day. But yeah, I was totally devastated. I kind of had a mommy meltdown at that time.
As you should, as you can. Listen, we're all human out here. It's perfectly fine. People said, oh, you're on I hate that. The biggest blanket term. Oh, you're on vacation. Stop complaining. Yeah. Listen, we're going to complain here and there. You know what I mean? It's a case by case thing. And I like to think I'm pretty happy go lucky when I cruise for the most part. I'm pretty, especially just
pretty chill.
Yeah. Compared to my day to day, you put me on a cruise ship, I kind of take things in stride until I don't. You know what I mean? Then something that really like a specific thing you wanted to do or a specific ask that you had or something you were looking forward to for a certain thing, I totally get. You know, having a little bit of a breakdown. No judgment here on that.
Yeah. You know where I would have a real, where you would see me lose it? And I have almost lost it before, Tommy. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate. And I think you would lose it too, especially if you'd had a few vodka sodas, is when I see someone talking down to the crew.
Oh, yeah.
I literally, there was this guy one time, we were on MSC and we were in a theater. And after the show, this guy, this cruise passenger, called over like a waitress and just reamed her for how bad the show was. It took all of my energy not to like walk over and hit him over the head with a bottle of wine. Like I was like, I was so pissed. That kind of thing actually just, that's where I would probably come unglued and like go monkey on someone and like fly across the room and beat him up.
Definitely.
All 5 feet of me, you know, because I'm pretty badass,
yeah,
right?
I understand that. It kind of just, it triggers you a little bit. You see somebody just disrespecting a crew member that's working really, really hard, and it doesn't sit well with me either. You're 100% right on that. The version of sherry I also appreciate is, oh, no. You know, a cocktail or two in when the gin's going a little bit here and there. Right. And, you know, that kind of tends for an environment where we might get a little off script too as well. I do appreciate so much the Patreon episode that you contributed to. That was phenomenal.
Oh gosh, yes.
Do you remember that one? Or?
Of course I remember it.
You had a couple of gin martinos?
Yeah, the gin martinos. Some martinos. It had been a very long day. But I wasn't that far south. But that was a fun one. You guys need to get onto Tommy's Patreon for these behind the scenes moments, because that would be a moment that would never be aired publicly.
Yes.
So sign up, Cones, sign up.
All right. Lastly, I wanted just to, inside X's and O's cruising. One thing I had a question, like, what do I want to know from Sherry? What question do I have for Sherry cruise related that I would love to really know? One thing that, you know, again, pushing 40 cruises in right around a little bit over 10 years, I would say fairly impressive to, I guess, the average person, maybe not so much the people in the space, but one thing I haven't really delved into is that, what would you call it? The premium cruise experience. And I know you and your family are fairly big on Princess, and I know you've dabbled in Celebrity, right? Have you? You've done Celebrity, right?
Haven't tried Celebrity.
You haven't tried Celebrity?
Seabourn, and we're planning on going back on Holland America.
Okay. So what is the best way for the listeners, I guess, what would be the best way? Because I always like, all right, so it's clearly a different category. What are some of, for our experienced cruising eye and cruising IQ, what would we notice difference from, like, let's just say a Royal Caribbean or Norwegian or Carnival to a Princess cruise?
Yeah. Well, it's going to depend largely on what ship and when you sail, because sometimes there might be a Princess cruise that could feel almost like a Carnival cruise. For example, when I was on Regal Princess, repositioning it from Fort Lauderdale to Galveston, that was a party cruise. It was a Halloween cruise. It was Princess, and it was wild.
Wow.
The biggest difference, though, is the demographic does skew older. But again, you still have a massive contingent of people who cruise like Carnival, who are 55 and up, and that's all they cruise, right? So I don't want to exclusively say it's like it is all older people on Princess. But in general,
is there like a non-negotiable when it comes to certain standards of whether it's food quality or service or whether the room is taken care of, or is there certain things that, you know what, this would never happen on a mass market or mid-market cruise line that, you know, you can, you know, I guess, if the answer is no, the answer is no. I love that too, but.
Okay, you're forcing me to think, which I like. The first thing that came to mind was you know how a lot of the cruise lines are going down to once daily housekeeping?
Yes.
You're going to get less of that nickel and diming on a premium line, so there's going to be less of that. You're going to have more opportunities usually for free room service too, probably, depending on the line. Like if it's semi-premium, premium, or like luxury, the room service is probably going to be still a free option. On Princess, one of the things that they have that is actually, in my opinion, makes it more luxury is if you buy Princess Premier, which is like it's basically the drink package and tips and a few other things, right? If you buy that, you have this thing where you can have all your drinks and your coffees and stuff delivered to your room anytime. And so that's huge for me. Like I hate the morning schlep to get my coffee. Mm-hmm. Like I just wish you could have a pot delivered for room service, but with their app, I literally go in and I put in like cappuccino for me, hot chocolate for my kid, you know, like a pot of tea, and it like comes just like that. It's like bar service to your room.
Sure.
Which is kind of a big deal. There's no other line that's not a luxury line that's doing that. So for me, the Princess, like that whole medallion and the Ocean Now delivery thing is huge. I love it. And I also like their mini suite stateroom category. I wouldn't say you can't get that on other lines, but I think it's an attractive thing for people who want like a bigger room, but that aren't, they can't afford a suite. Like I would never be able to afford cruising in suites every single time, but I can afford for a couple hundred bucks more a mini suite. So that's a good Princess selling point. It's quieter. You know, if you're wanting a more adult experience, if your audience is like, look, I want to think that I'm probably going to be cruising with fewer children in a more tranquil environment, you're guaranteed usually to get that because there aren't water slides and go-karts and roller coasters on Princess ships. There are, however, larger, much larger swimming pools, big, beautiful sun decks. You get like, if you go to, on a Carnival ship, I was on Jubilee and the main pool deck was, it was big, but when you're thinking about 6,000 people, it's not enough.
Right.
Princess treats you like you get more space per passenger. And this is true as well for Celebrity and Holland. Really it's that guest space ratio does change. You're going to have a little bit less of a party atmosphere, of course, on most of them, but I will tell you, Princess can be a party sometimes. Mm-hmm. Especially Caribbean sometimes, but always more tranquil, like up in Alaska. So did that kind of answer
it
the question?
It did. I guess, okay. Why do I keep, I mean, I'm a little, you know, I've been known, but why am I keep kind of just reverting back to food? So I guess my question is, of course, there's no question that you're going to be able to, on Carnival Jubilee, you'll be able to get a better meal somewhere than you will be able to get one on a Princess cruise ship. But I guess just across the board is that, you know how, but you know, when Carnival bombs in the main dining room, they bomb.
Yeah.
Like there's some, mm-hmm. I mean, they can, right. You know, really, you know, do you have that on Princess? Will you get a bad meal on a Princess cruise ship?
I think that for the most part, it's going to be a more premium meal experience. Although I think that there's still, believe it or not, I think there's still adjustments on all of these cruise lines for cruise food. Like I really haven't seen the full recovery in terms of like where food used to be. So no, I feel like you're going to have a much more premium experience on Princess in general. Although I really see, I like Carnival food. So I feel like they kind of get a bad rap. It's the buffet difference for me on Princess versus Carnival.
There you go.
I think that the Carnival buffet is way inferior.
Right.
And Princess's buffets are really, really nice. Like you could go there for dinner every night and have a pretty special experience. And the newer ships are just enormous. And you're going to have a lot less crowding and a lot less of that frenzy, you know, versus a Norwegian versus a Carnival where it's like a frenzy. There's less of that. But I love Carnival steakhouses. I love Guys. Big Chicken. Oh, who could argue with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
So like for me, it's hard, but people say the same thing about Celebrity, and they also say Holland America really stands out in terms of like main dining room and buffet. Holland America and Celebrity are for sure up there with Princess and being a cut above. Mm-hmm. From what my audience tells me, they actually rate Holland America and Celebrity just a wee bit higher than Princess in overall food. But I think Princess's buffets are pretty strong.
See, that's good. That's good, solid mm-hmm. information right there. I'm not a Carnival food hater at all by any stretch, yeah. But I do mm-hmm. know that Carnival can have the occasional complete and total breakdown in the main dining room here and there. Like I think across the board, like, it's good. I think it's
too. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's mm-hmm. it. All right. Yeah. I'm going to get you out of here. We've been talking with Sherry from Cruise Tips TV. I was going to mention I had the Jubilee on my list, but I think, you know, she goes into such a deep dive into Jubilee on her podcast. So you should definitely check that out. Cruise Tips TV, anywhere you like to listen to your favorite podcast. Before I get you out of here, in the spirit of, like you mentioned before, making you think a little bit, I'm going to blindside you with one more.
Okay.
I love an experience when you go on a ship with a bunch of like-minded people experiencing a particular theme. They have those. They're called theme cruises. Mm-hmm. They have them. They exist out there. I would like to know, Sherry from Cruise Tips TV, whether it exists out there or not. It could be something that's out there sailing yearly, or it could be something that you completely made up. If Sherry was going to design or attend a 5-day theme cruise of her choice, what would be that theme?
You know, actually, a couple of our audience members are on my dream theme cruise right
really?
Now. Yeah, I don't think I'd do it, but it would for sure be 80s music. It would be an 80s new wave cruise.
Okay.
It would be like Depeche Mode, New Order.
Yes.
They're doing like an 80s pop cruise right now. They had like Tommy Two Tone. Who else did he have on there? Full 80s garb every single day. And these things exist. I love 80s new wave music. Not so much 80s pop. Like I could just like Madonna, Michael Jackson. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like, no, I'm talking about like really good, like Human League.
Depeche
like,
Mode.
Depeche Mode, dude. Cure, like, come on.
The Clarks.
The Cure is my all-time favorite band ever.
That's good. That's like, an interesting caveat. I didn't know that. Yeah. A new wave.
And Mr. Cruise Tips TV too.
Okay. So I was going to say that. And we won't get into music because I was late for work. Because of the fact that I wouldn't leave my car listening to your music episode.
Oh, that was a good one. The playlist.
And your guys' definition, you butchered the yacht rock definition.
I know.
We'll get through it. We'll get through it.
We really butchered that. And I have to take full responsibility because I didn't really understand that it was a genre.
Well, I mean, I'm saying it tongue in cheek because honestly, at the end of the day, is it really a genre? It's somebody made it up at one point. So yacht rock is what you said. But yeah, my version of yacht rock is, I think I thought you guys were going in more traditional 80s direction. When you're talking about yacht rock. Speaking of 80s, did you see this documentary, Greatest Night in Pop?
No, I didn't. Okay. I don't have cable TV. Don't laugh at me.
Netflix? I don't have cable.
Oh, yeah, I have Netflix. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you
something. What is it called? I'm writing this down.
The Greatest Night in Pop. My Patreon subscribers know that I have a little bit of, I don't know, you might want to call it a little bit of an obsession with We Are the World. It's recording how it came around, everything, the whole thing.
I remember you talking about this on your podcast not too long ago.
Yeah. Yes. It's just, to me, it's just, there's so many angles to go at it with and, you know, be wistful about it. But it was a really good breakdown of how it,
really?
Yeah, I think 80s, if you break down the 80s, if you're talking about the individual artist, I don't think there was a better era in music, but you know,
no,
that's beside
there was
the
not.
Point.
We can't. There is no argument. I will not accept it. But what about yours? I want to know what your. Can I ask you? Like, what's your dream theme cruise?
Oh wow!
Oh come on! You've thought about it. It has something to do with country music and women.
Well, in that case,
a combination of those things.
In that case, I've been on it.
You have.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah. No. I mean, like the.
Was it again?
The Florida Georgia Line
theme
cruise
right.
from Sixth Man was, yes, that was, I describe it all the time. The whole entire cruise was pure cruise bliss. And the height of that was just, I mean, I go back to it. We're so lucky to have these memories of just, you know, being in a hot tub, listening to Dustin Lynch on the pool deck. Well, you got to pay for a concert to be anywhere at the proximity I was to him is like ridiculous. And now you're not only that close, but you're also in a hot tub with a bunch of like-minded strangers passing around a bottle of Fireball under the night stars like 12 hours before you're about to pull into Cozumel, Mexico. And he just strips it all down, sends his band on break. He grabs an acoustic guitar and starts playing a Tim McGraw cover. I was like, that's it.
No,
I'm good.
You're done. I'm just remember that moment forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
do you have any more group cruises coming?
I do have a group cruise coming, Pirates and Pier Runners. I believe this is four. Yes, four.
When is this one?
This is October 8th. No, September. Oh, shoot.
You forgot your own group cruise. Good one.
I got to book my own group cruise. Don't tell anybody. I haven't booked yet.
Oh, I think I just found it on your Facebook page.
Is it?
7-night Western Caribbean and Perfect Day, Freedom of the Seas.
Yes, the
September
Rasta,
22nd through the 29th.
The Rasta Redemption, yes.
Yeah, September 22nd. Okay, friends, go book your group cruise with Tommy.
Yeah, but anyway, thank you so much. This is always great. This might have been my favorite one.
Good. Well, it was really fun, and I'll have to catch up with you when I get back from Sun Princess. I'm heading out for Europe soon.
Tell Mr. Cruise Tips TV next time, please. Maybe we'll break him down. Maybe eventually we'll get him down.
Maybe. I don't want to get your hopes up though. Yeah. I think he'll stay in the wings. I think that's where he's comfortable.
I get it.
But he loves you and he adores you. He talks about you all the time and you have a place in our podcast too, you know.
Same. And all right, Sherry. Talk soon.
Bye, Tommy.
We'll be right back.
angels, dancing in the deepest oceans, to sing in the water, you're just like a dream, just like a dream. Lift me into shape. I must have been asleep for days. Moving lips to breathe her name. I opened up my eyes and found myself alone, alone, alone above the raging sea. I stole the only girl I loved, drowned her deep inside of me. You look soft and lonely. Lost and lonely, you, strangers, angels, dancing in the deepest oceans, to sing in the water, you're just like a dream, just like a dream. Lonely, you lost and lonely.